Our scripture today comes from the book of Mark, first chapter, verses 1 through 8. And this is always, of the three synoptic gospels, the one that really sounds like Christmas to me. You know, Matthew talks about how we got here. It starts out with the Jewish tradition. And Luke talks about the story of some poor couple getting kicked out of a hotel. But this one really tells me about Christmas. You know, if you think about somebody in the ancient times reading the book of Isaiah, I think I'd have the Christmas spirit in my heart with this part of the scripture. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. That's the part that's not too Christmassy to me. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm so thankful to our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. You know, whenever somebody is a liturgist, I usually go ahead and just star the items or the sections that I would like them to do, and I was doing that quickly right before worship, and I starred the message also for Jason. So if you would prefer, I can sit down and he can continue. Okay, next week, bud, get ready. So next week, so, okay, just talked, okay. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this day, and we're grateful for how you are dwelling amongst us, in us, working through us. Thank you for how you continue to be churning, stretching us. Thank you for the love and grace in which you do all of this. And it's in the name of the one who's coming we wait for, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love to be able to see interesting names whenever I read them in the newspaper. And I read one that, along with Jarvis Redwine, that was a running back for Nebraska a few years ago, that I think is an absolute topper. Okay, this guy is a current guard for the St. John's University men's basketball team. This is his name: God's gift, Achimwa. God's gift is his first name. Now, can you imagine growing up with that name? If you became a minister, Reverend God's gift. God's gift. It struck me because on one hand, boy, I know how it was to grow up Neil Leftwich. And some of the mail that I get still to this day to Giel and Luftwich and things like that. But God's gift, if you did not approach that name with humility, you would be a very difficult person to live with. I don't know if you've ever had to deal with individuals who are difficult to live with. Please don't point to anyone. Don't elbow anyone. Don't look at anyone. Try not to. And somebody who maybe feels that they're God's gift to whatever, fill in the blank. We, however, have a whole different orientation. We understand God's gift to be coming in a very surprising form of an infant, We know the story, and boy, we really want to run ahead at this time of year, don't we? I mean, we want to get to that manger. Boy, we want to get there. We want to get there to that baby. You know, we had a baptism last week. We're going to have 3 baptisms next week. And whenever we see babies, it's really easy to see God. Maybe that's why we want to really run to the manger. But we can't. We can't just yet. Just yet. We're in a process. We're in a journey of recognizing whose work it really is and who is the focus of all of this. Jesus Christ, God working through Christ, God's Holy Spirit in our midst, doing something different. We are not God's gift to the world. God's gift to the world works through us. Jesus Christ, God's gift to the world, is that which we proclaim, is the light of the world. And we allow that light to shine through us in a world in which shadows continue to creep and crawl and cover things. In times of darkness, we point to something greater, a hope greater than any sort of darkness. This is a dark time in which Mark wrote. This is a dark time, and for those dark times, what is the answer that Mark gives here? Jesus Christ. Starts out right from the beginning. The good news, Jesus Christ. That is our answer, and that is our starting point. I'm not trying to couch it in some other terms or terminology, but rather pointing to Jesus first of all, and then starting from there. John, a character that we have images of. We kind of think of him as a hairy goomer, don't we? You know, this big long beard and kind of a wild man and hair sticking out all over the place. And you know, he's been eating honey. So anybody ever have honey that gets like on their chin or on their fingers? And so he's got this big beard. And so not only is he eating locusts, but he's got all sorts of other bugs in his beard and things like that. I don't want to get too gross here, but I mean, it's kind of, you know, rough. It really is. And he's kind of a rough-looking, wild character. And yet, this man who had a tremendous following, okay? You have to understand that. There were people that were looking to John. Okay, well, maybe this is the one. Maybe this is the Messiah. He's dynamic. He's charismatic. Well, I sure do like listening to him. Maybe he's the one. John humbles himself, realizing he's not God's gift, but points to God's gift that is on its way. And John says, there is one to come. I'm not even going to be able to untie his sandals. In other words, I'm not even worthy enough to kneel down as a servant in the household, as a slave, to go ahead and untie the sandals. You understand that it's on a dirt floor, maybe in the mud, and the feet are dirty and crusted and dusty. I'm not even worthy to have that job, to take care of that. And yet I have the privilege of preparing the way for him. I have the privilege of pointing towards him, being a preparer of the way. And then John emphasizes the point that he isn't the one who's God's gift, but Christ is, by saying, I baptize with water. This one is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. That's why any baptism here is not about the person who has the privilege of maybe performing the baptism, holding the baby or the child, placing on the water. It's a sign of new birth and being marked as a child of God. But it is God who is the main actor. And God is the main actor in Advent as well. Breaking forward, breaking forth in new ways. Not in simply the same mundane ways. The people who heard John, who were fascinated by him, who were enamored with his words, had to be struck by this. Wow, we think he's pretty great, but there's somebody else even greater? areas of our culture, and you hear this in the political realm especially, sometimes in the sporting realm, in the business realm, are infested with this malady that I can only title, "Look What I Did." It's like whenever you were a kid and you took something home and showed it. Look what I did. That's not bad. But whenever you continue to do it as an adult, wanting the credit for everything. Look what I did. That's the problem. And as Christians, the look what I did-ness, it's kind of a new phrase there. I tried not to spit while I was saying that. Whenever that becomes a focus in the church, there's a problem. There's a breakdown in the very structure of the church, because the church is no longer based on Jesus Christ as Lord and God as moving force, as creator, and the Holy Spirit as that infuses us with the light and love that we can share with the world, but it becomes about personalities and individuals. John would have never wanted to be part of a church like that. And Christ did not come to create a church like that. So in this time of Advent, it's important for us to remember whose God's gift is, what God's gift really is, isn't it? Who is God's gift to us? Who is God's gift to us? Who is God's gift to us? When we keep that as our focus, then we do have something to prepare for. We do have something profound that the world needs to hear now more than ever. We are preparers of the way of the one to come. It happens first in our hearts, then it happens in our homes, and then it happens in our churches, and then it happens in the world. It only grows. And as we come to the table this morning, and I ask those who would be serving communion with me to come forward at this time as well. As we come to the table this morning, we remember what Jesus said later on in his life. There were those who were gathered at the table, and they would remember some parts of his life and probably forget other things that he said. What he had to offer was so incredible, and it stretched the people then, and it continues to stretch us now. Those who heard about John preparing the way for somebody greater could hardly wrap their minds around that. I think they could hardly believe that God loved them that much. But communion reminds us that God loves us this much, because this is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for the body of Christ that serves in this world. This is offered for you, and as it is offered for you, you can remember that this is more than something for your stomachs. This is something for your spirit. We remember the sacrifice and love in this offering. The body of Christ broken for the people of God. And we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And he continued at that supper. And Jesus said, "This is my blood shed for you, poured out for you, for the forgiveness of sins." Forgiveness. And to know that redemption is one of the things that God is in the business of. The prophets foretold it. John pointed towards it and the one who was coming. And in Advent, we remember that redemption is very much about part of the journey. Not just decorations, but preparing our hearts to receive God in a whole new way. The blood of Christ shed for forgiveness, for redemption, for the people of God. And we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. All are welcome after the communion stewards have received the elements of grace to come forward and to receive these elements of grace offered for you. This is an open table. And I would ask you to think about one thing as you receive them today. How am I preparing the way for Christ in my heart in a new way? And how am I then going to be able to share that presence of Christ in the world? We are all called to be preparers. There's only one Savior. Thank God for the work that God continues to do through Christ in His world.